Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Aeneas, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Any day I'm doing radio with you, man, is a great day.
Same here.
It's a great day.
Great to have you here. Let's talk about the defensive front. I feel, just on observation, that PJ got back into the mix, but I feel like the last two games we've started to see the PJ of early last year. Is that what we're seeing?
I think it's accurate. I remember watching that Auburn game and watching him fire off, and mm-hmm. I saw him talking crazy to some of the Auburn offensive linemen. I said, you know what? He's feeling comfortable again.
Yeah.
He's looking healthy. So you can't over exaggerate the importance of having a guy like PJ back, especially with the Big Ten Gauntlet coming up and those teams that like to run the football.
I also think it makes a big difference for Elsdon, because
yes.
if PJ's firing like that, he's taking up space and usually two guys. Fair?
Yeah, absolutely fair. I think no matter what type of middle linebacker you have on the field, they're going to look significantly better or worse depending on how that nose is playing in front of them. So I'm sure Elsdon is thankful to have a healthy PJ Mustipher on the field with him now.
He may not be getting sacks, but what are you seeing in the disruption of Chop Robinson right now?
Yeah, he's very it's hard. I don't want to put him in a tough situation, but it reminds me of AK a lot. When AK came from Temple, may not be finishing on a lot of sacks, but I just saw a graphic today that the Big Ten put out, and he is one of the leading pass rush win rates in the entire conference. So, you know, having him around, it's going to help guys like PJ and Akeem and whoever may be inside get pressure on the inside as well. You can't teach what Chop Robinson has. The way he gets off the ball, the way he kind of times his hands is very natural to him, and I think it's going to continue to pay dividends for that defense this year.
Same question about Adisa Isaac that I had about PJ. Gets to Auburn, gets three TFLs, tackles for losses, by the way. Are you now starting to see more explosion out of him? Because that is an injury that takes a while to get back from.
It is, and I think I had the chance to go check out some practices preseason and get to see Adisa Isaac back in the mix. And I will say he's, you know, physically, those guys, you mentioned PJ too, you know, they're healthy. Mm-hmm. They're fine.
Yeah.
A lot of it is mental, especially with a serious injury like he had. And you're starting to see that confidence kind of come back. And I like to think of it, you know, as I was injured a lot too as a high school kid. And when I would come back from that, those first two games were tough just because it's a mental game. You're kind of timid. I think week three, you kind of saw both of them make the decision like, okay, I'm fine. Let's turn it up now and let's play at the caliber that we know we're playing at, and that's what you're seeing from Adisa.
Mentally, after you get hit a few times after an injury, is that when the confidence begins to return because you are getting hit and nothing happened?
Yeah, a hit can absolutely do it. Football is a very aggressive sport. So once you are on the field, maybe you get hit, maybe somebody shoves you a little bit after a play, and you kind of just flip a switch in your head where it goes from, okay, I'm trying to be careful, make sure I stay healthy, to, okay, we have a job to do. And we're playing a physical game. And those guys are competitors, especially. So when you see a decent PJ take those hits, maybe somebody shoving them extra after the play, like I mentioned, to them, that's just going to flip that switch. And they're not thinking about their bodies anymore. Now they're just playing fast and going and playing football.
The kid that excites a lot of people, and justifiably so, is Dany Dennis Sutton.
Yeah.
It takes a while to, again, get used to the speed of this game. Plus, he came in later. He didn't have spring practice here.
Yep.
What are you starting to see in him, Aeneas?
Yeah, his get-off is outstanding. His length is really helping him. If you talk to the kid, if you walk by him, you see that he's just kind of put together a little bit differently than most people. And it reminds me a lot of, I came in with Odafe Owe, and he didn't early enroll. And it took him 2, 3, 4 weeks before he looked like an elite pass rusher. But then once he did, he never went back and he only made strides. I still see a lot of room to grow for Sutton, but, you know, he's having impact immediately already, and he's only going to continue to grow into that role more as the season goes on.
What do you think of this secondary so far?
Oh, man, they're special, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm always going to be more reserved than a lot of people about anointing position groups or certain players.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a group that's led by Joey Porter, a group that's led by Jair Brown, then have the depth that they have, I mean, they're NFL players all throughout that secondary, I think even more so than people are probably realizing. And, man, I don't think, at least since I've been here, they have not had a secondary that has played at this level yet.
They played early on in three games, a lot of 7 defensive back packages. Against Central Michigan, They went to three downs, okay, part of their Prowler package. But instead of seven, they went with six, and they put Abdul Carter in there with Curtis Jacobs. What does that do for a defense to have that combination of linebackers on the field with the six DBs?
Yeah, well, the benefit of having Abdul Carter and Curtis Jacobs, obviously, you have another physical presence, a linebacker presence who plays the run like a linebacker. But when you talk about those two guys, they run like DBs. Mm-hmm. Coach Franklin tracks the miles per hour in every practice, and consistently they are at the top of that board with any position group. So, you know, you get guys that can run like corners but are hitting and playing physical like LBs, it's only going to elevate everybody's play.
So on offense, what have you thought of the offense to this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's been great to see the tight end step up. The offensive line has made big strides since last year, and I want to give them their flowers. But a big part of that, too, is getting guys like Brenton Strange in the mix in the run game.
Yeah.
Because now it's a numbers game in that box. If you have a tight end that can block like an offensive lineman who can win those matchups with safeties and backers, it's going to open big, big-time holes. And we've seen that with Nick Singleton. We've seen Catron Allen step up and Kevon Lee. And that's been the most exciting part to me. I will say, and I've told this to them on the show as well, I would love to see those wide receivers take a game over because I know they can.
Yeah.
They're a deep group, and they're all very unselfish, and eventually we're going to see them pop too.
Let me give you an element of unselfish. I think a guy downfield that has blocked well has been Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Absolutely.
I mean, have you noticed the same thing?
The Auburn run, I think it was Singleton maybe. You saw Keandre take off down the field and manhandle that corner. And I think the biggest trend I've seen with this team that differentiates them from teams of the past is the way they play for each other. When you have guys who are unselfish and willing to play hard, even when they don't have the ball in their hands, that's the mark of a great player and hopefully what will be a great team too.
When you look at Singleton and Allen, what does their jump, their get out of the gate first step and a half mean to an offensive line and an offense?
Yeah, so, I mean, with Nick specifically, the gear that he can go into when he hits that second level, when he sees where he wants to go, is not something that can be taught or coached. It's a little bit different, and it's great because as an offense, you know, and I'll speak even from a defensive perspective, you know, when you're preparing all week, you know, it's a little bit different when you know there's a guy who can take that top off regardless right. of whether or not everybody does their jobs. And it adds an element of fear and a different level of preparation, and it changes what a defense can call, so it opens up the playbook even more.
See, and that's what I think they're hoping to find a little bit more, take the top off with one or two of the wide receivers. They're capable of it.
I think they are. Yep.
But yeah, they're capable of it, but they want to see them take the top off, which would really open up everything. Sean Clifford.
Yep.
You've been around him, played in the same team with him. What makes him a really good quarterback in this offense?
Yeah, so I think, you know, he's 53 years old now. he's in year six. But here, I mean, let's be real, though. Sean is benefiting this year from having an offensive line that can protect him. They have a run game that defenses have seen now and have to prepare for. And he's always been a smart guy.
Right.
Always been highly intelligent, has always been a good leader. You saw him get hit against Auburn. He's always been a tough kid. And I'm just happy to see him have the opportunity to shine now. I think we talked about on the show again on Saturday. He's got, eight passing touchdowns, one pick. He's rushed for four more. The offense has just opened up now, and it's given him more control. Another aspect that I don't want to go unsaid, let go unsaid, is the fact that he's under an offensive coordinator in year two for the first time in his career.
Right.
He's comfortable with the playbook. He's able to make checks at the line of scrimmage that put the offense in the best situation possible, and that's why we're seeing the success that he's having now.
Right. When somebody takes a shot, and he does take some shots during the game, and you're on the sideline, how much respect is there, and what does it do for a sideline when your quarterback gets up from something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's the leader of that team, right? So you see your leader get popped. He pops right back up and makes a great play. I think he threw a dime to Mitch Tinsley on that same drive.
Yes, he did.
It fires everybody up.
Yep.
Because, again, there's a brotherhood in that locker room. So, you know, you can talk about the offensive line who's going to absolutely get up when they see that, and they're going to get fired up. But it fires the whole team up. Because, you know, anytime we never obviously hit the quarterback in practice, so it's foreign to watch it happen.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, people get fired up, they get going. So it's definitely fun to watch when they respond that way.
We've talked about the two young running backs.
Yep.
You know, it would not be right to not then delve into the future with Drew Aller.
Yeah.
You watched him in the preseason after watching him in the spring, but the preseason was a different kind of guy. What do you look – now, when you look at Drew Aller, what are you seeing in him?
Yeah, just from a physical perspective, man, crazy arm talent. He can put the ball wherever it needs to be. You know, I watched his back foot throw against Ohio with pressure in his face, put it on a rope right to the tight end. And everybody can't do those things. On balance, off balance, he can sling that thing around. That's God's gifts. But I think the thing that's impressive to me about him is the composure that he's shown as a true freshman quarterback. Because really, regardless of the talent level you have, typically for freshmen, especially QBs, there's some type of limit mentally to what they can do when they're in the heat of battle. And I have not seen him flinch. And again, Coach Franklin keeps talking about depth. To have a guy like that in the case that Sean Clifford is not available to go play, you know, it's a huge opportunity for the rest of the team, because now everybody knows they can still go win games regardless of the circumstances.
Which now brings us back to the point of actually playing the game, because he's played a lot of people, Drew among them. Right? Give everyone a sense the value of actually playing in a game. Even though practice is important,
yep,
but playing in the game.
Yeah. You know, those reps are very important for a couple reasons. Number one, just, again, to come back to the starters, you want to keep them as fresh as possible for as long as possible. Because when the first quarter ends, when the second quarter ends, when that fourth quarter comes and it's time to go win the game, you want guys that are fresh and can go do their job at a high level. It is not realistic to do that for 80 plays at this level. I don't care how good a shape. We have a great strength and conditioning program.
Right.
You don't get in better shape than what Coach Losey has those guys in, but still it's unrealistic. So to get game experience early in the season, it shows the coaching staff, hey, okay, these guys can go in and play when they need to, but it also keeps everybody locked in. And the mental aspect of it, again, not to keep harping on that, but to keep guys locked in for however long the season is, 12, 13 weeks of regular season play, it's hard to do, but it's important to do if you want to go where Coach Franklin and his team want to go.
Northwestern is going to be this week. It's a conference game. So both teams, by the way, are 1-0 in the conference. Yep. Northwestern lost their 3 out of conference. Is, you know, a game is a game, but did you always sense there was a different intensity on the field because it was a conference game, or is that a myth?
No, it's not a myth. Actually, I just heard Peyton Manning talking about it in the NFL, where there's a different speed when you're playing division games, right?
Yes. Yep.
It's the same thing in college. When you're playing a Big Ten opponent, you want to go out there and set a tone because you know the rest of the Big Ten's watching, and of course because you want to win the game. And Northwestern, I hate to break it to everybody, they're not a team that's going to come into Beaver Stadium and just lay down because it's Penn State and stop playing football. They're going to come in here with an attitude, and they're going to want to win that ball game. And realistically, at the Big Ten level, in most games, you can't come in and not give your best effort because teams are good enough to win.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'll do this any time you hit my phone. Anytime. I always get excited when I see Steve Jones on my phone, ladies and gentlemen.
The Hawk, Aeneas Hawkins, who, by the way, has an incredible future in this business. So thanks so much for being here.
Appreciate you, brother.